We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, David has the day off, so you are stuck with me. Sorry about that. Nothing I could do about it, but David gets his time off just like I do. Anyway, we have a lot of things, as I said at the beginning of the show, that we're going to get into. And one of the big stories at WBEN and WBEN.com today is, I got a few things surprise me anymore, but the number of accused Boy Scout volunteers who allegedly became involved with little boys, the number, I think, is absolutely staggering. And it's gotten to the point, I mean, between the church scandal, the Boy Scouts, how do you know whom to trust anymore when it comes to your kids? I am stunned at the number of men who are going after little boys. I had no idea that there were so many victims. I had no idea that there were so many perpetrators, more importantly. And the Boy Scouts, if what this attorney says is true, the Boy Scouts ought to be ashamed of themselves for not publicly naming individuals when they were accused and when there was probable cause to believe that they probably had something to hide, not naming individuals to police, letting law enforcement handle it before any statute of limitations kicked in, and making the community aware of what in the hell these people were all about. And, you know, what really sucks about this, well, what really sucks about it is all the victims that there are, okay, all the little boys who now may be adult men who still, you know, have to relive that. I know some victims in the church abuse situation, and even as grown and successful guys, and you cannot argue that this doesn't affect people in a negative way, because it does. I've seen it firsthand. But the numbers are startling. If you're not familiar with the story, I'll just read it to you. There's a law firm. Now, I know it's a law firm. And what do you think a law firm would have in mind here? What do you think a law firm? Well, obviously, they're looking at the money. It's always about the Benjamins. It's always about the dollar. Always the effing dollar, right? Sorry, that's from Casino, the Joe Pesci thing, right at the end, I think. So anyway, suddenly I want a baseball bat and a cornfield. So here's the story. A law firm that has teamed up with the co-founder of the rather unfortunately named, in my opinion, New York Loves Kids. If you're trying to fight child sexual abuse, I'm going to tell you the name New York Loves Kids is really bad. You got to come up with another name, because that is just New York Loves Kids. It sounds like something altogether different than what it is. It sounds like the very thing they're trying to go against. So anyway, a law firm has teamed up with the co-founder of New York Loves Kids, a group working to end child sexual abuse in New York State, which sounds like a group that isn't, released today the names of more than one, check this out, this is only New York State, 130 Boy Scout leaders who worked in the state and who were included in the Boy Scouts of America's so-called perversion files. This Jeff Anderson guy is the lawyer, and he is working with some alleged victims. And he says the Boy Scouts of America has had an expert auditing those files for years, and that the expert has identified nearly, and check this out, 8,000 child molesters connected to Boy Scouts of America dating back to the 1940s. Does the number 8,000 not absolutely startle and stun you? Because I'm blown away by this. Absolutely startled would probably be a better choice of words. The attorney says that more than 12,200 victims are mentioned in those files. Now, they do go back to the 1940s, but that's still a huge number. He accuses the scouting organization of keeping all of that information secret, that the Boy Scouts of America, in most cases, prevented the alleged molesters from serving as scout leaders, but kept their identities secret, which allowed them to otherwise be involved in their communities. If that is true, that is so absolutely wrong. I mean, that is not looking out for the best interest of anybody in your community. And it makes me rather angry. If this is true, it makes me rather angry at the Boy Scouts of America for not doing a better job policing itself, going back to the 1940s and letting a bunch of child diddlers into the organization. That is disgusting. The following scout leaders with ties to Western New York were named by Jeff Anderson and Associates as abusers with the Boy Scouts of America. Richard Earl Martin also has ties to Grand Island. The full list of names available at WBEN.com, along with the press conference by Jeff Anderson. But locally in Albion, one of the accused, Kenneth Allen Dingman, named by Jeff Anderson as an abuser, listed as such with the Boy Scouts of America. Angola, Douglas Lewis White. Buffalo, Timothy H. Jones. Corfu, Lowell Merritt. Depew, John E. Grace and Douglas Nail. William D. Baker from Lackawanna. Raymond W. Culbertson from Lackawanna. N.T., Alfred Cote or Cote, and Tonawanda Peter Nafley. Now, according to this attorney, all of these guys are in the Boy Scouts perversion files. Unfortunately, I don't have a year with which these people were associated or when these alleged crimes took place. And keep in mind, the attorney here is going off of, you know, what he says are the Boy Scouts' own records into this. Maybe we'll get some audio of that up for you. Well, the audio is actually up at WBEN.com. But is anybody else as disgusted and stunned by the sheer numbers connected to the Boy Scouts? Who, I mean, when you think about the thousands of people that were named as perpetrators, when you think about the thousands of people that were named as victims, this is really disgusting. And there's two issues that come to mind. Number one, I mean, I'm past this point where I've got little kids because they ain't little anymore. They've just gotten more expensive. But it's gotten to the point where if you're a parent and you still have little kids or kids that are starting to get involved in group activities, I mean, you've really got to bring the hammer down. You've really almost got to be a helicopter parent, it seems, to oversee exactly what and whom is overseeing your kids when they're not around you. I mean, you would think, think about the institutions that have been involved and named in this kind of behavior time and time again. The Catholic Church and the Boy Scouts of America. These are major and disgusting, they're major organizations involving hundreds and thousands of victims. And this is so, you know, I used to think John Otto was exaggerating when he said that child molesters, well, of course, they go where the boys are. You know, if you want to find a child molester, look at where the boys are. And sure enough, I mean, this Boy Scouts of America thing, it's terrible. But it also, you know what, here's the thing. Not only does it all make us feel bad, not only is it disgusting beyond words, but it's the sheer numbers of victims and the sheer numbers of alleged perpetrators. But most importantly, if the Boy Scouts did not share information contemporaneous with the police and the local law enforcement agencies in the jurisdiction in which the crimes allegedly took place, they really screwed up. Because they, and I realize this was well before, in many cases, the era of mandated reporters and all that kind of stuff, but it would seem to me, if you're running a local Boy Scout organization, whether it's in Dubuque or whether it's in Buffalo, and somebody steps forward with allegations that their kid was abused and gives enough specifics so that allegation has some concrescence to it, wouldn't the responsible thing that most of us would do, wouldn't the responsible thing be to make a call to the police department and say, you know, this is a little deep for us. This is a little bit past our pay grade. You guys might want to have a go at this because we think there's something there. And immediately put the individual associated with the Boy Scouts on a suspension and inform the public why the person is on suspension. Now, if they are exculpated or cleared of the charges, obviously you've got to deal with it with as much publicity as greeted the initial charges. But to hide and to sweep this under the rug so these perpetrators could be involved with more organizations and more people, it's criminal. I mean, in my world, that is criminal behavior, that is aiding and abetting child molesters. I mean, that's what I would say. And it's nauseating. And you know what? I know we all have our thing with lawyers, but they should be compensated for what they went through. And, I mean, I would have to hold, morally anyway, the Boy Scouts responsible for anybody who was plausibly accused, who was not turned over to law enforcement, who then went on to be involved in other areas of the community where he could get his hands on victims. You know, I was not in the Boy Scouts, so I'm a little bit ignorant as far as what kind of supervision there was and is now with the Boy Scouts. But the other side of the coin that I keep getting back to is if you're somebody who is genuinely interested in volunteering your time to young people, if you are somebody who wants to get involved with Boy Scouts, at this point in what we're going through, why would anybody want to take that risk? And we saw what Neil Kavanaugh went through. Seriously, think about this for a minute. You're putting yourself in a situation where you are conceivably opening yourself up to false charges, okay? And who needs the aggravation? You're going to be putting yourself in a group of people, some of whom may be bad eggs. And I don't like these numbers at all. They're just too many of them. I'm not saying I'm contending against these numbers. I'm not saying they're not real. I'm saying is I believe they're close to real, and I'm disgusted by it. So, you know, at this point in where we are, I kind of wonder why anybody would want to volunteer anymore to assist with Boy Scouts or anything like it. Anything where you are expected to be a man and you are over a bunch of kids, coaching. I mean, you would have to think long and hard about whether or not you even wanted to volunteer to be a coach. You'd have to think long and hard about a lot of situations that we never really considered before. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was a volunteer youth hockey coach for 2 or 3 years. I don't know that I would go through that again because it's just like, you know what? You got to worry about being associated with people who might not be in it for the kids in the right way. But, you know, you also run the risk of maybe a false accusation. 803-0930. I would love to know how widespread this really is and was in the Boy Scouts because, again, these numbers are nauseating and they're shocking to me. So this Boy Scout stuff has me, and I'm embarrassed to admit how shocked I am at these numbers. And I'm embarrassed at how many people, how many men were accused in this. I mean, even if you consider the fact that we're going back to 1940, I mean, I would like more of a breakdown of exactly the time period of which we are speaking. But, I mean, this is I hate to use this word because it sounds like media drama and medium pomp, but I got to tell you, this is an epidemic. And I mean, anybody who is inappropriately sexual, which pretty much covers everything, with a minor boy or a minor girl, I'm sorry, but I don't think chemical castration it should be off the table. I don't think amputation should be off the table. There are some things everybody knows are wrong, okay? Here is Todd in Rochester on WBEN. Todd, what's going on with this?
Well, I would certainly hope that the vast majority of all of these allegations stem from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, long before I got involved in Scouts. But I did want to share with you, from Rochester. I'm involved in a Cub Scout program as a leader. I'm involved in a Boy Scout program. I have sons. I have three children, three boys in the Scout program. They're currently, and it's been in place for about, I think, 5 or 8 years, they have a process called too deep leadership, meaning you can never, ever be alone.
Right.
And no scouts can ever be alone with a leader. And no leader, you know, you have to have two scouts. You always have to have two leaders. You can't be in a room with them. You can't drive with them. You can't – none of that. There's always a buddy system. There's always another adult. I can't do any events, any meetings unless there's at least two or three adults. And there's also what's called a youth protection program, which all any leader, any committee member has to take. And the scouts have to that's very clear, too, in the scout handbooks. There's very clear stranger danger information. So that's something that has moved the program forward.
Forgive me for saying this, but one of the problems with these kinds of situations, whether it is the church or whether it is the Boy Scouts, is you're not strangers. I mean, you are known mentors. The parents know you, and it's not like you're the stranger reaching out from behind an alley to steal a youth into the white van with the free puppy sign on it.
That's exactly a good point. You say stranger. I was using that as my own. You know, it used to be the concept years ago, a stranger danger. In fact, in the scout handbook, it clearly says, and any parents in Buffalo that are listening, one of the things that clearly comes right out up front is when you have child abuse that takes place these days, it's usually someone you or your family knows.
Oh, I want to talk to you further about this, Todd, if you want to hold on, because we do want to find out what is in place now a little bit more, because these allegations, and I'm emphasizing this, do go back to the 1940s, and I don't know how many have happened within our recent, you know, lifetimes, if you will. But even if you take into consideration back to the 1940s, the number is absolutely disgustingly astonishing. It's hard. I mean, it really. I don't know that you can use any other word but epidemic when describing the childhood sexual abuse that goes on, and it's almost beyond my ability to describe it. Well, hopefully abuse within the Boy Scouts in 2019 is not a living thing. Hopefully it is a thing of the far distant past. But it's this whole situation disgusts me, this epidemic. And you know what? I would bet you almost anything that it is just as bad now as it has ever been, but in different forums and different places and different organizations. Let's go back to Todd in Rochester, who says, hey, look, things have changed since a lot of the names in this report were released and the numbers, you know, Todd, here's what I'm having a hard time getting my head around, is the fact that other scout leaders had to know who the scum nuts were.
Probably. And you know what? I completely agree with you. The Boy Scouts of America allocated to the Catholic Church in Rome. For them to hide and to basically protect these disgusting sick people is inexcusable and negligent. There's no question, and nobody can dispute that with you. I think the thing that's very important that I need to convey is this. There have been, over the last 100 years, millions and millions of kids who've been involved in scouts and hundreds of thousands of leaders. So despite the huge numbers, which is disgusting and shocking and horrifying to me as a father as well, that it's like everything else, the 1% or 2%, the bad apples that screwed up for everybody. I need to convey that scouting is wonderful for my family, the time that we spend together, the quality time, young kids need scouting more than ever, and we live at a time where I've got to fight cell phones and computers.
Right.
Kids learn how to communicate. They learn self-sufficiency. And if there's any parents listening now that say, I don't want to do scouting, I would say you have to really, really embrace the program. It makes kids better. It teaches them self-sufficiency, God and country, what your program, I think, is all about. The program has changed. Shame on the Boy Scouts and the Catholic Church for hiding these things. The programs have changed, and their quality time with your kids, it makes our children better.
No, the protocols, Todd, as you said at the beginning of the phone call, the protocols have changed. And, you know, from what you have seen in your position from scouting, is it ironclad in practice, or do you see people, and I'm not saying that there's any ill intent, do you see people sometimes out of necessity not flaunting but having to break the rules about one-on-one situations?
No, there's a no tolerance policy. I'll give you an example. About 3 years ago in a troop I'm involved in, there was an allegation that a leader who was going to move to the South had, quote-unquote, hit one of the scouts. And I happened to share this with somebody. I said, that I don't think is true. And I shared this with another leader. And I was new to the program, and I didn't know what the protocol was. And I didn't, you know, it was something that allegedly happened a year before at some award ceremony when the kid wasn't in line. And immediately that leader had contacted out of his duty, and he knew the protocol. I wasn't a leader at the time, had called counsel and said, hey, wait a minute. And there was what's called a youth protection violation. And immediately there was an investigation. There was a potential suspension in place. Turns out there was no merit. They interviewed the kid. He said, no, he never hit me. That never happened. But the point is, it's taken extremely seriously. There's a zero tolerance policy. There's zero tolerance. They take it very seriously because the leaders are all parents, and we know a lot more now. So I don't think there's any loosey-goosey openings. I think this is taken very seriously, and the kids are more aware and are empowered to speak up if they see something as well.
I'm gonna ask you to step outside of your scouting role for just a moment, and I know you're very proud of it, and I really appreciate the passion you bring as a caller to this. It means a lot to everybody listening, believe me.
Yep.
But like at the end of the day, you know, we've mentioned the Catholic Church and we've mentioned scouting. What in the hell causes a grown man who can fake being normal in so many ways on the outside to go after little boys? I can't believe it.
Well,
and I'm not some Pollyanna of the world, you know, through rose colored glasses. I've been around the block a few times and I still don't understand it.
I'm not a psychologist, but you know, there are teachers. There are, you know what it really comes down to? The concept of bullying really comes down to its power. Okay. But the sexual element, these are people who are sick. These are people that are sick. And it's in a lot of other things too. I mean, you have things in the military. Anytime you have somebody in a position of power, they can abuse that power. And sex, you know, they talk about rape, for example. That is not a sexual crime. Rape is a violent crime. Okay. So the concept really is about power, I believe, and it's really about abuse. But pedophile, you know, it's another thing, and it's funny because I have a cousin who's gay. He is a gay guy. He lives in Philadelphia. He's not a pedophile. He just happens to be gay. Just
right.
Because he's gay doesn't mean he's a pedophile. But the point is, these people are sick. They're in different places in different organizations. I can't speak to that other than to say that people abuse power and are sick and they're all over the place. Fortunately, now we live in a culture where there's much more openness and awareness about abuse. That's a good thing.
I agree with you. And, you know, you mentioned teachers, and there is often, in fact, there is almost always a disconnect when it comes to teachers. There are actually websites out there when it comes to teachers having sex with students, rate how hot the teacher is. It's like it's not taken seriously. Now, granted, we're not talking about 7 or 8 year olds, and we're talking about people who probably, well, in every case I've read about, they gave some kind of consent, but their consent means nothing if they're not of the legal age of consent, number one. Number two, it's just plain wrong for the teacher to be doing it with any student, and yet, especially when it is a female teacher, it is, well, how hot is she? South Park actually did a parody. Was it South Park? Yeah, South Park actually did a parody of that involving Butters. No, I mean, I wish I could say that I was kidding, but I'm being dead serious. And I've never understood why the dichotomy is made between everybody else and teachers.
You know what? It happened years ago in fraternities. It happened years ago in military organizations. You know, there's certain conduct. I think the word power identified, and I appreciate you keeping me on. I think the concept of power is critical to the conversation. And the point is that people are empowered to be, to stand up for themselves, to not be abused by people of authority, whether it be police officers, administrators, people at work, people that leer at them. This Joe Biden apparently is going to declare his presidential campaign People have felt that he has been inappropriate in the past. So people are speaking out. You know what they want? They want respect, and they want to be treated as a person with dignity. And so that's, I think, what we're talking about. And, again, I want to say it. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of people have been leaders in the Scout program. There have been millions of Scouts, and 98%, I believe, have had quality programs that have enhanced their lives and been good for them and to build character. And we have, again, bad apples have to scooter for everybody, and the scouting program is much healthier, and I choose to move forward my family. We're going to stay in the scout program and honor the youth protection program, and I acknowledge and appreciate you giving me the opportunity to represent parents and scout leaders who take this path very seriously and learn from it and make it a better program. And that's all I can say.
Well, we're on the same page. I understand what you're saying about the statistics. I still find the sheer number alarming. But, again, that's not taking into account the low percentage that represents. The low percentage, but so many raw numbers, is disconcerting. But as you said, we're talking about, I would doubt it's even 1%. Of the scout leaders who've been involved with scouts in the same time period. But I'm grateful for hearing from you. I appreciate your passion, and we're pretty much in agreement.
Yeah, I mean, fraternities, military programs. You know, what it comes down to a lot of the time is when you have a large group, you have this mob mentality sometimes. People do things they normally wouldn't do. And we've heard about situations. Look, let me share something with you very interesting. I heard a statistic that back in 1930, the most sophisticated, well-educated culture in the world, they know more about art and music and language and history and science, were the German people. Were the German people. And there's a whole psychology about this mob mentality and what happened during the Depression and how Germany went from being this incredible culture to being a culture that essentially watched with the banality of evil how Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, you know, systematically killed millions of Jewish people and these minorities, the Slavs. And so people are weak and sometimes are not confident to stand up for themselves when they see something going on that's wrong. It's happened for a long time in history, and hopefully these things are well behind normal cultures and we move forward, I hope.
All right. Thank you so much. A pleasure to hear from you. And again, thanks for your passion for scouting. If I ever had another kid, which is not going to happen, but in the hypothetical world, I would want that kid to be in scouting with you.
Hey, you made my day. And I first time I've ever listened to your program, driving back to Rochester now, I was in Buffalo, and I really appreciate dominating your airways for the last 5 minutes. Thank you, and God bless.
All right, thank you so much. Well, when a caller comes on with that kind of energy, that kind of knowledge, that kind of passion, absolutely positively, I mean, you as a host, you got to know when to shut up and just let the dude talk. And wow, I mean, scouting should be and can be exactly the kind of experience that our caller described. And presumably it is now. But there were some grievous errors made in the past, the most noteworthy of which, and there's no disagreement between us, by the way, the most noteworthy of which is covering up for allegations and not bringing in law enforcement to deal with them and not notifying the community. Because I think it is shameful, you know, whether it's the Boy Scouts or any other organization, if somebody steps forward with credible, plausible claims about the behavior inappropriate of an adult, then at very least you get that person on suspension of being able to do anything with that organization. And if an internal, maybe you just go right to the police. I think in 2019, you probably are best served by going right to the police and letting them do the investigation. Bowerly and Bellavia, David is off today, a well-deserved day off, and you're stuck with me talking about the Boy Scouts of America situation, your take, and if you are involved in scouting, you know, I'd especially like your perspective. And you know, I had heard obviously over some of the other shows we've done, actually involving the Catholic Church, we had some scout people calling in to explain what they had done with the scouting to make it safer for children. And I would love to hear from more people involved in scouting. And, you know, how much of a risk is it to volunteer for anything anymore, especially involving kids, little boys, little girls? I mean, obviously, if you have good intentions, you know, that's great. I mean, for example, what kind of a background check is done? And I'm not talking here just exclusively about scouting, but even if you do want to volunteer to be a youth hockey coach, I mean, shouldn't some kind of a background check be done if it's not being done to make sure that you're not some disturbed individual or a pederast or something? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Few things in life disgust and nauseate me. The sexual abuse of children is very high on that list. I find it revolting and absolutely disgusting beyond words, and it's something I truly do not understand, and I never will. I understand people have all kinds of, you know, fantasies and all that kind of stuff, but damn, I do not understand that one in the least. Here is Barbara in Cheektowaga on WBEN. Barbara, hi.
Hi, Tom. I come from a family of four Eagle Scouts, a great-grandfather, two sons that served in the service, and one great-grandson. Their resumes really impressed so many of their employers. However, I believe that the pedophilia is increased, maybe because we didn't have the internet or the news that we have today, but I believe the internet and the digital cameras have done a horrible job in exacerbating pedophilia.
This is a belief, and I want to find out what makes you believe that, because part of me wants to agree with you, and the other part of me wants to try to shoot down your arguments. So why do you believe the way you feel about it increasing?
Digital cameras. When we had cameras with film, the films were gone through with people at the department of whatever department it was, whether it was Carhartt, Kodak or whatever, they went through these films, and if there was anything inappropriate, those pictures were thrown out.
Well, if you want to hold on, I'd love for you to hold on. One of the things I know about how the old time, you know, how the old time people worked is if you were into that kind of stuff, you didn't send your film off to be developed. A lot of people took up the hobby of photography so they could develop their stuff privately in their own darkroom. And that's, again, I want you to stay here because part of me, I want to agree with you, and the other part of me wants to ask questions like, is it that it's happening more or that people are talking about it more? So many people held in so much for so long. For example, my friend Gary Astridge is he's been on the show, so it's not like I'm telling tales out of school. He was the victim of very serious child sexual abuse from a priest, and Gary is a success. Any way you want to slice it, he's Ringo Starr's personal drum historian. He was just inducted into the Kenmore East Performing Arts Hall of Fame. I actually nominated him along with Jim Pritchard. And Gary is very, very successful. Everybody loves Gary. But this abuse that he went through when he was a little boy, it's never going to leave him. Okay, and he's very upfront about that. And there is no amount of money that can ever compensate somebody for the loss of innocence. And to follow through on a point that we made earlier about the stranger danger stuff, it's true. I know so many people who were victims, and it was always somebody they knew, and typically it was a friend of the family. You know, I've talked about this previously, but the whole friend of the family thing. So it's not so much the stranger danger, although that certainly does happen, but it's much more likely to be somebody that the parents know and trust who's able to manipulate a kid. And I don't like talking about this stuff. It makes me feel like I really need a shower, but to some extent, it's got to be talked about. I mean, you don't want to overdo it, but you also don't want to minimize the gravity of the situation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.